Good morning, everyone.
Good.
I'm Mark. I'm an associate minister here. And we're going to begin with a question this morning. And the question is this. What is the most unbelievable thing that you've ever seen? Chat to the person sitting next to you. You've got 20 seconds. Have a little chat. What's the most unbelievable thing you've ever seen? Okay, that's plenty of time. Would anyone like to tell us, hands up, anyone want to share anything? What's the most unbelievable thing you've ever seen? Ian. That was Ian himself hoovering upstairs. Incredible. I don't believe it, actually. I don't believe that, Ian. Anybody else want to share anything? The most unbelievable thing you've ever seen? Go on, Sue. Sue with her mouth shut. Again, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Well, listen, one of the most unbelievable things I've ever seen is Usain Bolt. Usain Bolt, the sprinter. The fastest sprinter over 100 metres ever. And I saw him in London. Couldn't believe it. It was around about the time of the 2012 Olympics. And just to verify that this did actually happen, my wife Emma, can you stand up please? Did it happen? Let's give Emma a big round of applause. Come especially just to verify that really did happen. You see, when we hear about things that seem unbelievable, like Ian hoovering upstairs or Sue keeping her mouth shut, or me seeing Usain Bolt, doubts can enter our mind. Should we all say doubt? Or dubbed? we might ask, what? Really? Did it actually happen? And that's a good thing because we want to be confident about what we believe in, don't we? Well, in the bit of John's Gospel that Emily just read, John tells us something that seems unbelievable. In fact, of all the unbelievable things ever, this has to be right there at the top of the list in terms of things that seem unbelievable. You see, Good Friday is about how Jesus died, but on Easter Sunday, we celebrate Jesus being raised to life again. What? Really? Did it actually happen? Well, John knows that we might have doubt in our minds, but he wants us to be confident, and so he gives us four saws. He gives us four saws. Now, you might be thinking, hold on a second, Mark, I think you might have finally lost it. I did not notice any saws in that Bible reading that Emma read. Well, maybe not this kind of saw in the first place, but we did see lots of this kind of saw, didn't we? Eyes that saw stuff. Eyewitnesses that saw things. And John gives us these so that we can have confident faith, confident belief that the unbelievable is actually believable. Let's have a look at the first saw in verse 1, everybody. Here we go. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. And we've got a pretend tomb here today, everybody. And look, the stone has been rolled away from the entrance. And that's what Mary saw. Now, if you're a woman here today, sadly, women, in those days, your words would not have been considered reliable, and so you weren't allowed to be witnesses at court. Now, happily, things have changed since then, but think about it. If John was making this up, and if he wanted people to believe his made-up story, there is no way in that culture that he would say it's a woman who saw the stone that had been rolled away. John writes it like this because this is what really happened, to give us confidence that this really did happen. The stone was rolled away. Now, verse 1, Mary's in the dark, isn't she? Do you see that? It's morning. That's one reason, early morning, why it's dark. But put your hands over your eyes, everybody, like this, so you can't see anything. She's in the dark. Now, I'm going to stop doing this just in case I fall off the stage. Let's all stop doing this. But she's in the dark in more ways than one. You see, she's also in the dark in the sense that she didn't understand what was happening. Have a look at verse 2, everybody. She came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Now, you see, Mary thinks that a grave robber has come along and stolen the body. Look, we've got a grave robber here, everybody. Oh, this is what Mary thinks has happened. And, you know, the linen that dead bodies were wrapped up in and the spices, they were worth quite a lot. And so sometimes grave robbers used to nick the body so they could take all those precious things. So Mary sees the stone's been rolled away, but she doesn't understand. She's in the dark, as we'll see. Now, the second saw involves Peter and John. Have a look at verse 3, everybody. Peter and the other disciple, they started for the tomb, and here they come, everybody! Here they come! They're running as fast as they can to get to the tomb. Let's cheer them on, come on! Who's going to get there first? They're straining every sinew, every muscle. It's John! John got there first, everyone! Woo! But Peter got there too! They ran to the tomb. Let's give them both a big round of applause. Round of applause. Come on, off you go. They ran to that tomb. And this is what they saw when they got there. The second saw. Let's read from verse 6. Simon Peter came along behind him, that's John, and went straight into the tomb. So John made it to the tomb first, but Peter actually crossed the finish line first. He was the first one into the tomb. And he saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. And finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, he also went inside, and he saw and believed. So what is it they saw? Well, they saw the linen. They saw the strips of linen. And this is really significant because, think about it. If Jesus' body had been stolen, why would you unwrap a dead body and leave the linen there? Very strange, isn't it? Really odd, if that's what had happened. You see, linen like this was very valuable. It was worth a lot of money. And they would have taken that too and sold it, as well as the spices. So whatever happened, it doesn't look like the body's been stolen, does it? Well, what about the third saw? Have a look at verse 11, everyone, and we're back with Mary. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. So Mary sees two angels. Now, when angels crop up in the Bible, when they crop up in the Bible, it means God's doing something. So do you remember when Jesus was born, an angel appeared to Mary and to Joseph and to the shepherds because God was doing something in the birth of Jesus? Well, here we have angels, two angels at the tomb because God is doing something. And just look what their message is in verse 13. It's really a question. This is what the angels ask Mary. They say, "Woman, why are you crying?" Let's put our hands over our eyes again, everybody. Because Mary is still in the dark, isn't she? Okay, take your hand away. She's still in the dark. She's confused. She doesn't understand. She's really sad. But it's like the angels are beginning to turn the lights on for Mary so that she can see that God is doing something. Now is not the time for tears of sadness. And this brings us to our fourth and final saw, and it's the most momentous of all. We should all say that word momentous because it is momentous. Can we say momentous?
Momentous.
Have a look at verse 14, everybody. Mary turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. Hold on a second. Mary saw Jesus. I thought Jesus was dead. What's going on? Well, Mary, perhaps because of her confusion, maybe because of the tears in her eyes, she doesn't recognize him until he speaks. In verse 16, have a look at verse 16. Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me." It's like she was giving him a big hug. She's giving him a big hug. "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father." Can you imagine what it must have been like for Mary in that moment, that split second of moving from darkness to light, from confusion to clarity, from sadness to joy? It's Jesus. He's alive. He was dead, but now he's alive. This is what God is doing, and it changes the world forever. If we asked Mary, if she was here today, and we said to Mary, "What's the most unbelievable thing you've ever seen, Mary?" then, you know, of course it would be this moment. And yet, in reality, the unbelievable is believable, because she doesn't just see Jesus, she throws her arms around him, she can touch him, she gives him a great big hug. He's really there. What a moment. Okay, so we've seen four saws. Let's see four things, everybody. Four saws. The rolled away stone, the strips of linen, the two angels, and Jesus himself is alive again. So what are we supposed to do with all these saws? Well, the whole point of these saws is that they are supposed to cut away the doubt. So what do you think, everybody? Shall we cut away the doubt? I'm not convinced. Should we cut away the doubt? Okay, let's give it a go. I think the O is having fun, isn't it? Let's try and get the O over here. Here you go. Over there, O. Right, okay. Drum roll on the knees, please. Here we go. Here we go. There goes the D. We've got rid of the D. Drum roll on the knees, please. It's the last one. It's the last one, everybody. Here we go. There he goes. Woo! We've cut away the doubt, everybody. Amazing. There you go. Oh, the O. The O is fine. Let's just go and check it. Let's go and see what's going on with you. Oh, he hasn't got enough helium. There we go. We pretty much cut away the doubt, didn't we? In other words, John wants us to believe it. Believe it. That's what he wants us to do. And John himself sets us a brilliant example. Because in verse 8, we read that John saw and believed. But think about it. What had John actually seen? Well, he hadn't seen the risen Jesus when he believed. He'd only seen the strips of linen, hadn't he? The evidence. He hadn't actually seen the risen Jesus, but he believed. And we haven't seen the risen Jesus in the flesh yet, have we? We will one day. We've just sung that he's coming back to reign. So we will all see Jesus one day. But in the meantime, we can believe that he's alive today, even though we haven't seen him, because like John, we've got evidence. Our witness evidence is the eyewitness evidence that John has provided for us. He gives us four sores to cut away the doubt, to give us confidence to believe. Later on in John 20, Jesus says this to his disciple Thomas. He says, "Because you've seen me, you have believed, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Blessed are those who've not seen and yet have believed. So let's cut away the doubt. Let's believe the sores that Jesus is alive. And when we do believe the sores, there's something else that we can do as well, and that is this: we can enjoy it. We can enjoy what Easter is all about, what it means. And there are three things in verse 17 for us to enjoy. And the first thing is this: when we believe, when the sores cut away the doubt, God becomes our Father. Have a look at verse 17. Jesus said to Mary, "Go instead to my brothers and tell them I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Jesus says to his disciples back then, and his disciples today, those who believe that Jesus died for their sin and has been raised to life again, Jesus says, "My Father is now your Father." Just let that sink in for a moment. Isn't that wonderful? When the sores cut away the doubt, God in heaven becomes your Father. It's extraordinary. So why not spend some time with your Father later today, or carve out some time this week to talk to him in prayer? He's your Father because of Easter. Thank him for Easter. Thank him for the cross. Thank him for the empty grave. And enjoy listening to him speak to you through his word, the Bible. Spend some time with your Father, because that's enjoying what Easter means, what it's all about, what it accomplishes, what it does for us. The second thing for us to enjoy is that Jesus becomes our brother. Again, look at verse 17. Jesus said to Mary, "Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father." Those who follow the risen Jesus become Jesus' brothers and sisters. So I wonder what you're looking forward to this Easter. Anyone here looking forward to Easter eggs? Anyone already eaten their Easter eggs? Yeah. I haven't eaten all of mine yet. Anyone looking forward to roast lamb? Anyone looking forward to seeing family? Perhaps you wish you could look forward to seeing family this Easter. Well, when the sores cut away the doubt, rather than fearing the day when the risen Jesus returns to reign, instead we can look forward to seeing family. We can look forward to seeing our brother, because when Jesus comes back, it's our brother who is coming back to reign. Easter's about looking forward to seeing family, a brother who died and rose again for us. Well, the final thing that we can enjoy about Easter is that when the sores cut away the doubt, the church, God's people, become our family. Let's have one last look at verse 17. Jesus said to Mary, "Go instead to my brothers." And that word brothers, it's plural, isn't it? It's got an S on the end. Because when we believe in the risen Jesus, together, as brothers and sisters, we all share the same Father in heaven. We all share the same brother in Jesus. And so that means together we all become family with one another as well, because we've got the same Father. Isn't it brilliant to be able to enjoy celebrating Easter like this? Together, as a family, you know, singing together and enjoying eating together. We're going to enjoy communion later on this morning. We're going to have refreshments after the service. This is the kind of things that families do together. We eat together. A little bit later on, we're also going to be celebrating Ian's baptism. And this is a new member of God's family. It's what we're celebrating. And for God, it's a new child, someone to know him as Father. For Jesus and for us, it's a new brother. And we're celebrating having a new brother together this morning, which is a wonderful thing to be doing on Easter, isn't it? Easter Sunday. Because it's what Easter means. It's what it's about. How we can become part of God's family. It's a wonderful thing to celebrate today. So, let the sores cut away the doubt, even the O. Every single bit. Let the sores cut away the doubt. Believe in the risen Lord Jesus and enjoy being part of his family. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for those eyewitnesses who saw the rolled away stone, the linen, the two angels, and the risen Jesus. Father, please cut away any doubt this Easter and help us to believe. And Father, thank you so much for what Easter means, that through believing in the risen Jesus who died for us, we get to enjoy you as our Father and Jesus as our brother and one another as family. Father, we praise you for truly blessing us. In Jesus' name, amen.